Blog Talk Radio.
Most people say they hate wearing shoes and would go barefoot if they knew they were allowed. People say it all the time on their social medias, but they are worried that someone will say something to them. So everyone wears the cheapest flip-flops with the least amount of fabric on them. Most people do not even know that it's completely 100% legal to go barefoot into a store. Most people think that driving barefoot is illegal, but it isn't. Driving barefoot actually is safer than wearing most shoes. Going outside barefoot for a walk is one of the healthiest things you could do, but most people are afraid someone will say something. Or they quote the myths and the rumors that their grandma told them years ago. The fact is, there are no laws against driving a car, going to a store, or eating in a restaurant barefoot. So don't give in to bad fashion, hurt heels, or a broken flip-flop. For more information, please check out barefootislegal.org or find us on your favorite social media. Hello, everyone. I want to introduce you to our friends at Marty.com. At Marty, you can stock up on all your pantry items and other household items for way, way cheaper than traditional grocery stores. I like that most of the items are organic. Also, I really dig their 1 cent deal of the day. It changes every single day. I recently snagged a 10-ounce bag of dog treats for Chewbacca for a penny. Normally, they sell on their site for $7.99. With the upcoming food shortages, this is my favorite place to stock up on canned goods. If you live in the mountain or Pacific time zones, you need to get with Marty.com, M-A-R-T-I-E.com. Look for our link on our FreedomizerRadio.com website and get a $10 free just because I told you to go there. Marty.com. Great deals, good feels.
Earthing, also known as grounding, is the act of touching our body's skin directly to the earth, just like our ancestors did as they slept, sat, and walked on the ground nearly every day of their lives. This simple connection allows Earth's natural negative electrons to enter the human body, pacifying dangerous free radicals, which, if left unchecked, can cause severe damage to cells that can lead to many chronic diseases. Ground Therapy's patented process and suite of products were designed for you to experience all the benefits of grounding in your busy and modern lifestyle. And you'll experience the benefits of grounding within the safety and comfort of your home or office throughout the entire day, just as if you were touching the earth itself.
The information is provided for general informational purposes only. The contents are not intended or implied to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Ground Therapy Incorporated makes no representations about the efficiency, appropriateness, or suitability of any specific tests, procedures, treatments, services, opinions, healthcare providers, or other information that may be contained in or available through the information provided.
Food waste is one of the most easily solvable problems, literally the low-hanging fruit of environmentalism. Pardon the pun, it's my job.
About 20% of all produce never makes it off the farm.
It's because they just look a little funny,
a little weird, but when you cut into it, it's perfectly good food.
It's just a total shame. It's totally good stuff.
We buy ugly produce directly from farms that often would go to waste because supermarkets won't buy it because of how it looks, and we deliver it to people's doors.
Beauty standards for an apple.
This isn't that ugly at all. Like, that's the most common first box, like, complaint we get.
We change that. We educate people. We show them how amazing these fruits and vegetables are.
Have food delivered to your house.
Box of produce every week.
And it's more affordable.
At a very reasonable price.
Cheaper than the grocery store.
I spend a lot less time in grocery stores.
It's an adventure every time that you open your box.
High quality produce.
There's nothing wrong with the produce.
and they taste exactly the same, if not better.
Save those fruits and vegetables that get wasted every year.
And it's delivered to your door, like...
Why wouldn't you do?
Please go to our website, freedomizerradio.live, and sign up for Imperfect Foods today. Use our promo code and get money off your first order. Go ahead and get some organic and all-natural meats, dairy, snacks, breads, and non-GMO produce.
Hello, folks. We are here with Barefoot is Legal Radio. Barefoot is Legal is a 501c3 nonprofit organization dedicated to the rights and legalities of living the barefoot lifestyle, as well as general encouragement, support, community, and information around living the barefoot lifestyle. There is unfortunately still a lot of stigma and myths and misperceptions around barefooting. But it is a very natural process, and it is something that is not new. It's something that has been a part of human life for a very long time, and it does have benefits. Unfortunately, a lot of people think that, you know, barefooters are careless and reckless and that we're not paying attention to our environment. But the thing is we're often paying more attention to our environment and more aware of our surroundings and more aware of our environment when barefoot than when we are wearing shoes. And I mean that as just a generalization for people. But especially as barefooters, you know, we are paying attention to where we're walking and where we are. And there are sensory aspects of barefooting in which you can be more in touch with your environment and more aware of your environment. While in other ways, you know, that can be too overstimulating for different people or too overstimulating at times for people, there's also a sense of awareness that comes from that. But it's, you know, there are, you know, so many different sensory experiences and sensory differences between people. And, you know, these influence our experiences with barefooting and how we interact with the world. I'm Phoenix. You know, I'm regular host here on Barefoot is Legal Radio. So, you know, if you're a regular listener, you're probably used to hearing my voice. If you're, although my voice can change from time to time, depending on the day or mood or I don't know. But if you're a newer listener, hello, welcome. I'm Phoenix. Audrey should be on here hosting today with us too. And we do have a guest caller that is supposed to call in at some point. I'm not 100% sure on the time of that yet. Where was I going with this? Barefooting is a lot safer than a lot of people think. And, you know, barefooters in general are not as careless as people think. You know, yes, there are different environments in which barefooting can be a threat, you know, or not even that barefooting can be a threat, that just the environment, you know, has threats in which, you know, it may not be safe to barefoot. But barefooting itself is not inherently dangerous. You know, people tend to barefoot in their own homes and, you know, outside, you know, there are a lot of times, you know, kids enjoy being barefoot. It's something that, you know, it's not inherently dangerous to be barefoot, but depending on the environment in which you're in, you know, there may be threats that, you know, it may not be safe to barefoot. And it's just about being aware of your environment, being aware of your surroundings. And, you know, us as barefooters, we often are very aware of our surroundings. We're not reckless. We're not careless. You know, we're paying attention to where we're stepping. And even when I'm not barefooting, like, you know, because it's too cold or, you know, just my own stuff with disabilities and whatnot. And at times, like, you know, having to wear shoes because the cold has such an effect on me, when other people may not have to. And I do have a lot of temperature sensitivities, you know, when I'm still going out, like, you know, I'm still being like, oh, I see where there's broken glass or where there's anything that could be potentially hazardous on my hikes or nature walks, whatever you want to call them. Because, I mean, I don't really do a lot of intensive hiking considering my, different condition, health conditions, disabilities, with my physical body. But to me, it's hiking, and I think too, it's like, hiking looks and what, I feel like counts as hiking or, being more of a, an intensive nature walk or whatever to people, that is a very individualized experience, just like barefooting is a very individualized experience. And, nature and barefooting, I would say often go hand in hand, but, nature is not the only place in which we barefoot. And in most of our world, unfortunately, isn't pure nature. Most of our world is very built up and modernized. There are definitely negative aspects of us being disconnected from nature. From my understanding of, research and information, there are correlations to how, our disconnection of nature and, carcinogens, just different things that are a product of, the modernization have had a very negative aspect in so many different ways on human health. And I think what's interesting too is just how much reconnecting with nature can add benefits to health. And I definitely will say from my own personal experiences, even if it's too cold to barefoot, just being in nature, being with the trees, that is such a vital thing to regulating my nervous system, for my mental health, my emotional health, my physical health, my chronic pain, my mobility, and just all the ways in which these things are interacting within my personal experience. Just being in nature is just a huge part of taking care of myself and regulating my nervous system. It's something that if I don't do it, I really do start to see just how much it does help me. But even too, on those days when I especially need it the most, I can go out in the woods or in nature, wherever that is, that day, and just be able to feel just the benefits. And there's actually this book that I've been reading that I got as a gift, and it's called, sorry, I have it open to a certain page, but it's called The Nature Remedy by Faith Douglas. And it's I actually really like the book. I mean, at first I was like, oh, there's not too much that, I was really learning, because there's a lot of things that I've definitely like looked into myself, especially at times when I had more cognitive just capacity. Being in burnout, it's been really hard, to continue things or always have the bandwidth for things that I used to with my autism and my ADHD. It's like, there's this deep need to, research and find the information and dig through things. But being in burnout can really take that away with just not having the same cognitive capacity. And what I've learned is just being able to just listen to my body, listen to my mind. And, a lot of that is connected to barefooting. Barefooting is a big thing that really jump-started my journey of listening to my mind and my body and my emotions. And it was something that just, I feel like, really did positively change my life and helped me to start listening to my body and becoming more aware of my mind, my body, my emotions, and how they all interact. And, and it was also a big part to understanding my ADHD, my autism. Barefooting can be just a very freeing experience. Shoes can be overstimulating. They can cause sensory issues and problems. And that's a big reason in which why a lot of people barefoot is because shoes can be too overstimulating. There's a lot of different aspects, though, to barefooting. It gives a wider range of mobility. with our joints, and this helps us have more control over our bodies and our movements. This book, though, that I was talking about, again, it's the Nature Remedy by Faith Douglas I had gotten as a gift from someone, and it was, I'm not all the way through it. I think I'm halfway or more than halfway. I think I'm a little more than halfway through it. Honestly, though, it's a great collection of information and thoughts around nature. And by thoughts, I don't explain that, but just different. There's just so much in there. And there's different things that, you know, I've looked into in the past, and so it's kind of a great refresher, reminder. And especially with having, being in burnout with ADHD and autism, you know, there are things that can kind of slip from my mind, or it's like, I say, like files in my brain that I can't access. And I feel like that's one of the best analogies for it, personally. Speaking of files in my brain not wanting to access, there's also metacognition issues. Metacognition has to do with knowing how to apply the knowledge you know, and sometimes that can definitely apply and overlap. And, you know, so I think it definitely has like a good collection of information. So to be able to just kind of look back on having metacognition issues or anything like that, getting into different aspects of nature, the sun, or atmosphere. But it's not a very hard read. And, you know, for me as someone who loves all the information and the details, there are certain things where it's like, okay, you could go deeper. But even in the introduction or author's note, she had said that, you know, a lot of these things, you know, she could go deeper with or would love to. I'm obviously paraphrasing. But she felt like it was a good starting point to really get those thoughts stirred up and kind of spark interest in different areas for people and kind of just create a collection of her interests and how that overlaps with nature. And barefooting and grounding is something that is mentioned in this book, as well as just different aspects of plant remedies, plant medicine, but again, you know, addressing the importance it is to remember to be careful with these and to seek professional guidance, especially like people who are trained, professional, experienced herbalists that know what they're doing, being mindful. But there's also just some other different just nature hacks and things, like, I don't know what the word would be exactly for it, but there's just some interesting different things about the way that, you know, nature provides, the way that, and just there's different aspects of my brain today is garbage, so I apologize, but it is a really good book, and there's just so many different aspects of it. But one of the things that it really got into, I thought was interesting, was forest bathing. And so this is something that I think a lot of us already do. And this is something that she mentioned in her book that she was already doing before she realized she was doing it. And how a lot of other people are too. So forest bathing is just being in nature and you're just like absorbing just the trees and the basically in there. This sounds so crazy. Okay, let me see if I can find a direct quote. It's simply the art of immersing yourself in a wooded environment to gain huge health benefits, not only physically but mentally and emotionally too. And this is reading, this is page 114 from the book, The Nature Remedy by Faith Douglas. And to continue with that, reading from this, when I first came across forest bathing a few years ago, I searched for more information about it. And the more I read, the more I realized this was something I'd actually been doing for years in the course of my daily life. I knew all too well the relief I felt when I was among the trees, but it was great to have some science to explain it. The Japanese started studying the benefits of forest bathing scientifically 40 years ago and found that trees release essential oils called phytoncides. These trees use these fabulous oils to help defend themselves from pests and diseases, and it's been discovered that we humans benefit from them too. As we wander from a woodland or a forest, we inhale the oils, which have a direct effect on our nervous system. The discoveries are astounding. Within as little as 15 minutes of being in a wooded environment, our heart rate will be reduced, our blood pressure will fall, and our cortisol levels are balanced, thereby promoting stress relief. People suffering from pain have reported a lessening of their symptoms, and it has been found that those recovering from illness and injury will recover more quickly and effectively than those who are not exposed to phytoncides. And so these are the oils that the trees are releasing. To interrupt for a second, and I'm going to continue reading from this book. People who struggle with sleep disorders show improved sleep patterns after forest bathing, while those struggling with mental health and mood disorders such as anxiety, depression, and PTSD have reported great relief and recovery. In addition, it is thought the body's anti-cancer cells have, sometimes I can't tell if I'm reading the lines correctly. Let me put my glasses back on. Sometimes it's easier for me to read without or with my glasses closer. Yes. In addition, it is thought the body's anti-cancer cells have been found to flourish after forest bathing. Okay. Our immune systems have greatly enhanced by the seemingly simple act of going for a walk in the woods, and the knock-on effect of regular bathing is overall well-being and life enhancement. So it does go on a little bit more about that, but I wanted to read that because that was the part for me, just reading that, and I was reading that while I was sitting on a bench in the woods, just, you know, doing basically that, forest bathing. And I had already heard of, or not heard of, I'd already read of it a little bit earlier in this book before I'd gotten to that part, and just being in the trees. And it made me also be more aware of taking deeper breaths and how I need to take more deeper breaths, especially when I'm in nature, so I can get more of those benefits of inhaling those natural phytoncides. I'm not sure if I'm saying it right. Or those, basically the oils that the trees are releasing. And let me clear my throat, sorry. But I'll be honest, a lot of the stuff that I, you know, read, talking about how it benefits health, I can say I have had those experiences, and people don't always get it if they don't have the same experiences in nature, if they just haven't been out, or if they, you know, have aversions to nature. It's hard for people to understand where I'm like, no, like, it's something that genuinely helps me. Now, there's so many different aspects of course, of how it helps regulate my autism and my ADHD. There are so many different sensory aspects that are just so beneficial with nature. Nature is also a special interest for me, so there's that. But and there's just so many different aspects of how, yes, it does help regulate with my ADHD and my autism and help produce dopamine and just help with my nervous system in general. But it also, you know, really does help with those cortisol levels, which is a big thing as somebody who has experiences with just a lot of high cortisol levels due to fibromyalgia, complex PTSD, chronic pain in general, and just other aspects of my health. that contribute to having and high cortisol levels. And I definitely do feel like being in nature, even before reading this, just throughout the years, even before I got into barefooting, but even as I further got into barefooting and connecting with nature and connecting in with my body and understanding the role that nature plays in healing, it definitely does help with those stress levels, those cortisol levels. It does help with my chronic pain. It does help with my complex PTSD. It does help with depression symptoms, anxiety symptoms, overstimulation symptoms. Being at sensory overload, it's one of the only places and things that can help is just being in nature. And there are definitely so many more benefits in this book, you know, that it mentions. And then I even also read, you know, of course, that there's so many benefits to nature and in which it is so beneficial to our health. And believe me, I wish I had more of the cognitive bandwidth to just completely deep dive further into that. But I do plan on looking further into the studies that Japanese scientists have done on forest bathing. I don't want to butcher the name for it, the practice is Shinrin Yoku. I could be wrong, but it's spelled Shinrin Yoku, and so this is a Japanese led practice. And so I think, and this is, I think that so many people would benefit from looking at the research that Japanese scientists have done around forest bathing, because I think it's something that a lot of us already do, but to further understand that I think would be beneficial. So it is something that I do plan on looking further and just wanting to look further in this research when I do have the bandwidth. And I was reading this, I don't know if it was yesterday, if it was earlier this week or when it was, and I found just a lot of the things I was reading just really helpful. And so I just wanted to mention this book. I guess I'm having a hard time explaining things because there's just so much other things I would just love to mention. But it just makes me more mindful. The book has just really helped. And the book is The Nature Remedy by Faith Douglas. It's really helped me be a little more just mindful of the things I'm already doing and how there is validity to them. Sometimes when things become a part of our daily life or our practices within our life or coping mechanisms or things like that, we can kind of forget how crucial they are and kind of forget what is really kind of like balancing us and steering the ship. And because I think sometimes until I'm really at that point where I'm like, oh my gosh, I need to boost the trees or I'm going to scream or I'm not able to go out in nature one day and I think it'll be fine. And then I'm like, oh my gosh, it wasn't. Then I'm like, that makes me realize just how crucial it really is to my regulation. But I think also to be able to read that, you know, just really does validate and like legitimize a lot of my experiences, you know, without being out in nature and with just how nature really does help with my chronic pain, complex PTSD, anxiety, depression, just even processing and working through just unprocessed emotions and traumas and things like that. And it's a crucial part of barefooting. We're not crazy. There's definitely a lot of validity to this. Barefooting definitely and nature definitely do play a huge role. Something helps with my fibromyalgia, my ADHD, my autism, so many other aspects of my health. I just, to avoid just rambling on, like, it's definitely been one of the most vital parts to my regulating my mental and physical health is understanding that barefooting experiences and that barefooting journey, understanding my relationship with my body and understanding what that means on a mental health level, an emotional level, a physical level, being with the trees, being out in nature, connecting with that. It's just been a huge vital part of just keeping me regulated and just hugely beneficial to my well-being. And I know I just keep saying that, but like it's true. And I wish I could just explain that in a more, I wish that I could show, you know, what the difference is. It makes a huge difference with, you know, meltdowns or being able to work through meltdowns. And it makes a huge difference with just overstimulation and it just being able to be more in control of my body, to be able to do more even with my body. You know, even if I'm not able to walk, you know, and hike super long, be able to find places where there are just benches or areas where you can just sit and sit as long as you need to and just enjoy that space and existence and know that you deserve to take up space here in nature. And as long as you're not harming anything, just sit and enjoy. Sit and enjoy the health benefits that nature has to provide. Just, you know, even when I have thoughts that I can't stop thinking about, I can't escape and I feel like they're going to drive me insane, just being able to go out in nature and be able to just look around and just have that stimulation of nature that is natural and calming. And like this book actually mentioned, she actually says most of the threats that are in nature aren't really, and that we're taught to fear really aren't existent anymore. If you think about it, wolves aren't as much of a big threat in most areas as they used to be, even bears. Now, of course, depending on where you're at, you might be still dealing with those things, and that's different, you know, mountain lions or things like that, you might still be dealing with. But most places, and I can even say this from where I'm at, most places, most of those threats that we would have had in nature or those threats of, you know, getting lost, they're not really as prevalent or severe as what they used to be. If we think about it, especially with the modernization of our world and the taming of nature that has happened from this, most of these threats of nature aren't really real or as existent as they once were. Now, of course, depending on where you're at, be aware of your environment. If you're deep in the hills, deep in the woods, you know, deep in the middle of nowhere, you're probably dealing with mountain lions, bears, coyotes, and I don't know, wolves maybe too. I don't know what you could be dealing with deep out there, you know, in the middle of nowhere. So obviously, you know, be aware of your surroundings and where you're at. But most people in most places, you know, that have nature parks, nature reserves, you don't have to worry about that. So just being able to sit calmly and safely and, you know, in nature. And, you know, our biggest threat, honestly, isn't nature, it's humanity. And actually, I wouldn't even say humanity, it's people with the lack of humanity, if anything. So, I mean, I think that we need to just remember that our greatest threat really isn't nature. And there's actually a lot more healing benefits to come from nature. And so just being able to sit somewhere in nature and take up that space and just breathe in, you know, the air. And obviously if you have asthma or something like that, that can, you know, be a risk. And if you have different health conditions that can affect that, that can be a risk. But what was interesting is this author, she also has asthma, and yet she's found benefits with being out in nature. And I just think that that's really interesting. And I'm not going to get too much into that or anything, but I just being able to just take up that space wherever you can in nature and just feel and experience the benefits of the trees, getting that vitamin D and just absorbing just all the benefits nature has to offer, but also just being able to have that visual stimulation. And sometimes just watching nature interact and just observing nature helps put life into perspective, and sometimes even puts human life better into perspective. And just being able to just let your mind just run its course, yeah, with all the thoughts that are consuming you and you can't escape, but still just being able to take in those benefits of nature and then have that visual stimulation and just being able to see the world in a different way, just through nature. And it can really help those crazy, those thoughts that consume you. Like when I'm in what I call autism panic, and I've discussed this with other, you know, autistic friends and autistic ADHD friends, where it is its own kind of level of mental overload, overstimulation, but it's not quite a panic attack. It's not quite anxiety. It's overstimulation, overload beyond that, mixed with the fear of the unknown and some paranoia and needing to know. And it's its own kind of experience. And when I'm really stuck in that with my autism panic and I can't stop freaking out or thinking or I'm consuming this idea, just being able to go out in nature and just have those sensory benefits, all those just general health benefits of nature, it really helps me be able to sort out those thoughts. It helps me be able to sort out all those mental overload thoughts that may be leading me to autistic panic or could push me to that point, or just anything that I just can't think clearly. I'm just at that point where I'm just like, I need to be with the trees, just being out there, it helps. And sometimes there are days where I'm like, I don't want to get in my car, I don't want to drive, I just, oh my God, I can't, I just don't want to go out. I thankfully have found places that are close enough where it's not too much of an issue, and just being able to make myself go, and it's not always that easy, I'll be honest, you know, obviously if I'm going to a shutdown, it's not that simple, but I, you know, if I am able to just make myself go and push through even the days when I don't want to, it does help to just be able to be out there and connect with nature and sit and walk and connect with the earth and, you know, be able to take your shoes off. And you know, when it's cold, it really sucks if you can't do that. But there's still so many benefits to nature, even and being out there, even if you can't. But being able to barefoot and ground really does help connect. Connecting with Earth really does help just regulate those electromagnetic fields in the body and the electrical energy in the body. And this is something this book actually mentions. It does mention barefooting somewhat as well, and I'm trying to find the page. I need to find my sticky notes so I can go back and label things. I'll bring this book up a little bit more, maybe next week, if I can find some better things. But I am going to run a quick ad break. I'm not sure if our guest caller is still supposed to call in today, but I'll see about that. But we're going to run a quick ad break. This is Barefoot is Legal Radio. Barefoot is Legal is a 501c3 nonprofit organization dedicated to the rights and legalities of living the barefoot lifestyle. This is Phoenix hosting, but we will be back after the break.
Just as ungrounded signals wreak havoc on radio communications, there's growing concern that because we are not grounded, we absorb tremendous amounts of electromagnetic radiation from our modern devices. EMF stands for electromagnetic field.
We are all immersed in electromagnetic fields, from Wi-Fi, from the wiring in our homes, and it disturbs our electrical balance. We get charged. Inside of our bodies, we get electrically charged. Some people have as much as 20 volts on their bodies, and that's not good for you.
The information is provided for general informational purposes only. The contents are not intended or implied to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Ground Therapy Incorporated makes no representations about the efficiency, appropriateness, or suitability of any specific tests, procedures, treatments, services, opinions, healthcare providers, or other information that may be contained in or available through the information provided.
Hello, everyone. I want to introduce you to our friends at Marty.com. At Marty, you can stock up on all your pantry items and other household items for way, way cheaper than traditional grocery stores. I like that most of the items are organic. Also, I really dig their 1 cent deal of the day. It changes every single day. I recently snagged a 10-ounce bag of dog treats for Chewbacca for a penny. Normally, they sell on their site for $7.99. With the upcoming fruit shortages, this is my favorite place to stock up on canned goods. If you live in the mountain or Pacific time zones, You need to get with Marti.com, M-A-R-T-I-E.com. Look for our link on our FreedomizerRadio.com website and get a $10 free just because I told you to go there. Marti.com. Great deals, good feels.
I've heard stories from teachers in classes where their students are grounded that they have half the level of referrals for discipline. Some students who were in tears because they were experiencing success when before they were experiencing failure with their behavior and discipline. I've heard stories from teachers with autistic children who have been grounded where they have less of what they call the meltdowns. And the meltdowns are less frequent and shorter, and they come back into the classroom and they're learning more than they had learned prior to the grounding. It's amazing what happens, not just with the teacher at the front of the class, but what can happen with the student sitting in the class. And just think, if every single student and every single teacher and every single classroom and every single school across this whole world was grounded.
The information is provided for general informational purposes only. The contents are not intended or implied to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Ground Therapy Incorporated makes no representations about the efficiency, appropriateness, or suitability of any specific tests, procedures, treatments, services, opinions, healthcare providers, or other information that may be contained in or available through the information provided.
I want to tell everyone about the 501c3 nonprofit Barefoot is Legal. Flip-flops are the most worn shoe. Even in America, almost everyone wears cheap flip-flops during the summer, sometimes even all year long. It's because they don't want to wear shoes, but there is 60 years of social stigma to overcome. Most people think it is illegal to drive a car, go to a store, or eat in public without shoes on. The fact is, there are zero laws, health department stuff, insurance regulations, etc. about going barefoot. Not only that, it is actually safer and more healthy to go barefoot than wear most shoes that we have been wearing for the last half century. Please check out the website barefootislegal.org and check out all of our social media. Going barefoot is safe, healthy, and legal. Barefootislegal.org.
Hello, folks. Welcome back to Barefoot is Legal Radio. Barefoot is Legal is a 501c3 nonprofit organization dedicated to the rights and legalities of living the barefoot lifestyle, as well as general encouragement, support, community, and sharing experiences and whatnot else around living the barefoot lifestyle. Barefooting is a huge, crucial role of our lives as barefooters and our experiences in the world, and it's crazy as it may sound to other people, it is something that, you know, has so many benefits mentally, emotionally, physically, and even spiritually. There are so many spiritual and even energetic benefits of barefooting and being able to connect with the earth, and this is something. Excuse me. Give me one second. I have a bigger burp. Ooh, came out of nowhere. But there are so many different aspects of being a barefooter, you know. And although it may have, you know, general benefits to mental health, physical health, emotional health, spiritual health, and like just the energetic and the energy and the electrical activity in our body, so even energetically, and this is what I mean when I say energetically, you know, I'm talking about the electrical activity and energy in our body. Although it has these general benefits for most people, this is not a one-size-fits-all experience. This looks very different for very different people. Not everyone experiences the barefooting lifestyle the same way. We all have our own different bodies. We all have our own different minds. We all have our own different lives and experiences. We have our own different emotions. We've all been through different experiences that have influenced our mental perspectives, our emotional responses, and the emotions that we've experienced and that we continue to experience, and even unprocessed emotions that we still may have to work through and that have been repressed. And there is science that shows that emotions are stored in the body, especially in the hips, and I believe especially around joints, if I'm not mistaken, like, because the hips is a big aspect of, like, joints, and then the feet as well, but emotions can get stored throughout the body. And we often we experience our emotions in our bodies before we, you know, understand them mentally in our minds. You know, they are a physiological biochemical reaction. And this doesn't make them any less valid, you know, saying that they are a biochemical reaction, that doesn't make them any less real, but it, understanding that they are still a part that is happening within our body. They're not just some outside external dimension that isn't interacting with our body. Our emotions are directly interacting with our experiences in our bodies. And for people that have different autoimmune disease conditions, ADHD and autism, anything that has to do with your nervous system or neurological, and, you know, can especially have intensive effects. And there can be a lot of, you know, regulation issues, not just with mental health, but physical health caused by emotional disturbances, emotional responses, and just these biochemical reactions in the body. And this isn't to say that our emotions are any less valid, but understanding that they have a real effect on our body. And I think anybody that has experienced, you know, mental health issues, especially intense mental health issues, you know, understands that it is incredibly exhausting on your body. Even with putting, you know, physical disabilities aside, you know, going through intense things with trauma, and your mental health and your emotional health is just exhausting in general on one's body and on one's nervous system. And so I think it's really important to look at the benefits that nature and barefooting have on strengthening and building the nervous system and helping to release stress and process through emotions is a really important thing to really look at in terms of mental and emotional health. Am I saying that's a magical cure-all to your trauma and your mental health? No, it's not. But it is a vital tool that I can say from experience. And, you know, there is research and there's information that shows that, you know, using nature and using barefooting and using, you know, working with your body, it can be a vital part of working through things and regulating. You know, for me too, music is a huge aspect of that, getting in that movement and that dancing, and especially being barefoot, when, you know, dancing, I have found more benefits, and where you can, you know, especially when you have more of that range of mobility with your joints and things like that, being able to put movement, you know, out can really help with release of emotions, and electrical activity that you have stored already in your body that may have nothing to do with your physical surroundings at the moment, but are just emotions that you still have in your body, whether they be, you know, unprocessed things or things that take much more longer, intensive time and care to work through, or just emotions from earlier in that day or earlier in that week, or just things that you're going through, or it could be more intense things around trauma and whatnot. Movement is a really great way to really get that out and help release that. And with barefooting, you have more range of mobility. As your feet are able to move more freely, more naturally, they're able to spread as they naturally are supposed to, which is really good for the bones and the joints. And we have more bones in our feet than anywhere else. And we also have more nerves in our feet than anywhere else. And so understanding, like, sensory stimulation issues, understanding your muscles and your experiences around barefooting and you know, when you need to wear shoes and when you don't need to wear shoes, and understanding what that looks like for you is a really important thing, not just for, you know, physical health and that range of mobility, but that can also translate to emotional health and working through those emotions that are stored in the body. So I've definitely found personally a lot of benefits from being able to just be in nature and understand its relationship with me. You know, we are a part of nature and nature is a part of us. And there are so many great aspects, yes, of modernization, but there are also a lot of horrible aspects of it as well. I mean, you know, climate disasters, pollution, just, yeah, I mean, honestly, I don't, there's a lot. Just different, you know, just the general carcinogens and the way that they have affected human health, the different aspects of mental health that have been affected. You know, there are so many different aspects of modernization that are bad, and as well as there are different aspects that are good. And I think it's really important to understand that in order for modernization and progress to be sustainable, it has to work with nature. It has to work with, and not just nature as in the natural world, as in like Mother Nature or the earth or the forest, but nature as in as well with our human bodies. And with human bodies, our human nervous systems, you know, these things have to work naturally together, nature and science and the progression. And I mean, there's science and nature, there is nature and technology and the progression of that. But, you know, nature and science really have to, and progress, you know, all have to work together to be sustainable. If, you know, our advancements and our progress undermine and promote more of a risk to human health and to our planet and just the general well-being of our planet and life and in nature and what is natural, then that's an issue. But if it's something that adds benefits to nature, our natural world, the nature is in the human body, the human health of nature, then yeah, that's sustainable. I mean, and as long as it's not opposing a threat and harm at the same time to our general planet when it's in the ecosystems to benefit humans, then yeah, it's sustainable. Because I think what we have to understand too is what threatens our planet, it's not just about threatening our planet. I get it when people are like, well, our planet's a floating rock. Yeah, but our planet isn't just a floating rock. It's of millions of species. No, we're not the only ones here either. You know, it's full of so much life, but it's also filled with billions of people, you know? So what happens to our planet does affect us. But even if it doesn't affect just you, it affects so much other living organisms and so much other life, conscious, sentient life too. And I get it. People want to argue about what is conscious and what is sentient. And I mean, we are starting to understand more in science that plants are a lot more conscious and sentient than we think they are or we thought they are. I would say that thought of thinking that nature isn't sentient or conscious has actually only been a thought that's only has been around for a relatively short time of human history and the collective consciousness and human consciousness and our thoughts of ideas. Ancient people for centuries, not even just centuries, millenniums, literally, they're, you know, if you go back, you know, believed that nature was conscious and sentient and it was more than just like the way that we look at tables and the way that we look at furniture. Nature isn't furniture. It's something that's growing out of the ground or just growing in general and living. And, you know, so there is a lot of research and information showing that, you know, we are a lot more becoming a lot more aware of how conscious and sentient nature really is. And I get it. There's still controversy over that. But, you know, for so long in human history, it was looked at that way. And I think people are starting to look back at that way because science is showing that. But this idea that nature is just like Earth's furniture, like trees are just like Earth's furniture, which is an analogy I guess I just came up with, I think. I don't know. But that this idea that, you know, trees are just Earth's furniture is a relatively short way of thinking, or relatively just short period of time that we've had this way of thinking, if you really think about it in the grand scheme of things. And I don't think this way of thinking will last much longer, if I'm being honest. I think anybody that really is able to connect with nature and be when has that accessible to them in any kind of way can show that there are benefits. But even sometimes too, it's as simple as connecting with a tree that's, you know, planted in a, you know, public space, and even where I live, living in a apartment complex, you know, I have this specific tree that is, you know, like my tree in a way. And one of the other residents, she actually said that this older woman, she was like, I just think of it as like your tree at this point. Like, it's your spot, you know, but at the same time, it's not like I'm saying no one else can sit there. I mean, I'm not going to like be like, no one else can have this tree, because, you know, nature is for us all to explore, but it's right there, you know, by my home. And it's, you know, it is like my spot. And and just being able to just sit there, it's not the same thing as being fully, you know, immersed in like the woods with going to like nature reserves. And thankfully where I live, I'm close enough to enough nature reserves and stuff like that. It's not the same thing, but I still get the same benefits. I still get grounding. I'm still able to do my breathing exercises, just my, you know, feet to the ground, my hand touching the tree, and just taking those deep breaths and just looking at the tree and just kind of admiring the tree. I think it's a really great thing throughout the year to be able to look at the tree, how she changes. And to me, you know, it's very much a sentient conscious being in my experience. But again, I could be crazy, whatever. But you know what? I'm owning it. Who cares? You know, but it's really great to see the way that just the branches change, the way that just tree changes. And it's something that I can just feel the world melt away and just focus on nature and something that is greater than me, that is the natural cycles and rhythms of life, and just be able to kind of fall into that and just stare at it and just enjoy her beauty, you know. And I love that. I was like, you know, we've been transitioning into spring, and the vernal or spring equinox is actually March 19th at 11:06 p.m. East Standard East Daylight Time. And so I'm not exactly sure what that would be for everyone else, but other time zones. But even due to seeing, as we were kind of seeing those early signs of early spring in the tree, just being able to watch it and just see life transition, it's a really great thing for my mental health and for regulating my nervous system, to be able to just have those moments where you just kind of disappear into observing life. And I think it's something that's very natural for my autistic ADHD mind to do, but I think we all definitely can benefit from that and being able to just observe nature, observe life, and understand that this tree is a part of, and even ourselves are a part of a greater rhythm, a greater dance, a greater cycle that's been going on for millennium. And I think that there is a really sense of beauty and a sense of grounding and just clarity that comes with that, just being able to observe nature and, you know, just being able to connect with it and exist as a part of it. So I definitely encourage people, you know, yeah, it's great. Definitely encourage people to remember your barefooting rights. There are no laws or health codes against barefooting in public spaces, you know, like grocery stores, shopping centers, movie theaters, gas stations, public parks, of course, nature reserves, you know, anything like that. Like, it is your right to be able to barefoot in public spaces. That is your right. To be able to, you know, so I definitely encourage people to go out in public spaces and man-made structures, man-made buildings, and with people in society, and, you know, exercise your barefooting rights. But also, you know, if that's all you do, I definitely recommend trying to find ways of connecting more with nature. Now, if you live, you know, in a big city or a major city, a metropolis, or even just a city in general, it can maybe really hard to do that. But just finding, you know, parks or maybe those random hidden nature reserves, or just finding, you know, a space in a public space where you know, there's trees or something like that, where, you know, benches even by a tree. Just grass patches, just finding, just, and I think it's hard for me to throw ideas there because it's like everyone's environment is so different. So take that time to observe your natural environment. And even, you know, that may include man-made structures and modernization, but that's the environment that's also natural to you. So look at your natural environment, look at your, where your at and start kind of seeing and observing where are those little peaks of nature. But maybe even start observing where has modernization tried to keep nature from being there in ways that are maybe over the top. Because sometimes there are some pretty over the top ways. I mean, I think it's interesting too, like where you'll see, I've seen some pictures of how buildings and signs and things like that, you know, in places that aren't going to hurt anybody will have, you know, spiky things to avoid birds from just perching there. Oh, sorry, excuse me. You know, will be, you know, just, you know, perching there, enjoying their, you know, just life, you know, just existing. And, you know, instead there are spikes, you know, to keep them from being able to do that. And so they're definitely just so many ways, I think, that we just need to become more aware of our environment, start observing more. Where are the ways in which nature is there? And you are able to barefoot and connect directly with nature, connect your feet directly with nature. But also, where are the ways that nature is kind of just being unnecessarily held back or eradicated or, like, in a way, you know? Like, let's really look at these things and look at how this translates to how we treat each other and how people treat barefooters and how we're perceived as barefooters and how we also interact differently than others often as barefooters than the way that other people do with nature and the world. And I think the more that we each on an individual level start digesting, start becoming more curious and, you know, understanding and picking apart at these things, the more aware that we will be of these general issues affecting our society, affecting the way that we treat each other and the way that people treat us as barefooters, the way that nature is vital and crucial to us, and just really picking apart everything in terms of nature, humans, socializing, barefooting. You know, I think that when we all start to do that on an individual level, that's when, you know, we'll really start to see more collective change. As we all have, you know, when we all start having our own thoughts and our own perspectives and realizing that there is no one-size-fits-all experience with any of this, and there's so much diversity, and we have to understand our different roles and places within that and coming together and just really challenging social norms that have just kind of taught us to fear nature and fear the natural world and to fear living natural. I don't know. I'm not sure if, oh, hold on. I'm going to run a quick ad break on. I think we were supposed to have a caller come on, but a guest speaker, but I'm not 100% sure what is going on with that. And we're down to the last 27 minutes of the show. So I'm going to run another quick ad break and see what's going on with that. Yeah, I apologize for any confusion, and I apologize my ramblings are a little all over the place today, but I think it's really important for us to remember our relationship with nature and to really connect with nature and to really just analyze the world around us. But remember, there are no laws or health codes against barefooting in public spaces. So that does include places that, you know, are, you know, public nature places, but as well as, again, stores, shopping centers, gas stations, any business that is open to the public, any kind of community center, any place that's open to the public, you have that right to barefoot freely. There are no health codes against being barefoot in restaurants as a customer or a patron. That is your right. There are no laws against driving barefoot. So please do not let people bully you out of your rights. And just remember that it is your right to barefoot in public spaces, to drive barefoot, to out nature barefoot, and do whatever you need to do barefoot. So you're not doing anything morally or legally wrong. You're just, and if it challenges social norms, then so be it. It is what it is. So we will take a quick ad break real quick, guys, but and we will be back with Barefoot is Legal Radio after the break.
Food waste is one of the most easily solvable problems, literally the low-hanging fruit of environmentalism. Pardon the pun, it's my job.
About 20% of all produce never makes it off the farm.
It's because they just look a little funny.
A little weird, but when you cut into it, it's perfectly good food.
It's just a total shame. It's totally good stuff.
We buy ugly produce directly from farms that often would go to waste because supermarkets won't buy it because of how it looks, and we deliver it to people's doors.
Beauty standards for an apple.
This isn't that ugly at all. Like, that's the most common first box, like, complaint we get.
We change that. We educate people. We show them how amazing these fruits and vegetables are.
Have food delivered to your house.
Box of produce every week.
And it's more affordable.
At a very reasonable price.
Cheaper than the grocery store.
I spend a lot less time in grocery stores.
It's an adventure every time that you open your box.
High quality produce.
There's nothing wrong with the produce.
And they taste exactly the same, if not better.
Save those fruits and vegetables that get wasted every year.
And it's delivered to your door, like...
But what? Why wouldn't you do? Why wouldn't you do?
Please go to our website, freedomizerradio.live, and sign up for Imperfect Foods today. Use our promo code and get money off your first order. Go ahead and get some organic and all-natural meats, dairy, snacks, breads, and non-GMO produce.
Of all the grounding studies, the one that really got our attention is called Electric Grounding Improves Vagal Tone in Preterm Infants. In the study, 26 premature babies in an NICU were connected to grounding wires. The heart rates of the grounded infants stabilized, and their vagal tone, a critical measure of infant health, increased by 67% with grounding.
The information is provided for general informational purposes only. The contents are not intended or implied to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Ground Therapy Incorporated makes no representations about the efficiency, appropriateness, or suitability of any specific tests, procedures, treatments, services, opinions, healthcare providers, or other information that may be contained in or available through the information provided.
Hello, everyone. I want to introduce you to our friends at Marty.com. At Marty, you can stock up on all your pantry items and other household items for way, way cheaper than traditional grocery stores. I like that most of the items are organic. Also, I really dig their 1 cent deal of the day. It changes every single day. I recently snagged a 10-ounce bag of dog treats for Chewbacca for a penny. Normally, they sell on their site for $7.99. With the upcoming fruit shortages, this is my favorite place to stock up on canned goods. If you live in the mountain or Pacific time zones, you need to get with Marty.com, M-A-R-T-I-E.com. Look for our link on our FreedomizerRadio.com website and get a $10 free just because I told you to go there. Marty.com. Great deals, good feels.
Of all the grounding studies, the one that really got our attention is called Electric Grounding Improves Vagal Tone in Preterm Infants. In the study, 26 premature babies in an NICU were connected to grounding wires. The heart rates of the grounded infants stabilized, and their vagal tone, a critical measure of infant health, increased by 67%. With grounding.
The information is provided for general informational purposes only. The contents are not intended or implied to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Ground Therapy Incorporated makes no representations about the efficiency, appropriateness, or suitability of any specific tests, procedures, treatments, services, opinions, healthcare providers, or other information that may be contained in or available through the information provided.
Food waste is one of the most easily solvable problems, literally the low-hanging fruit of environmentalism. Pardon the pun, it's my job.
About 20% of all produce never makes it off the farm.
It's because they just look a little funny.
A little weird, but when you cut into it, it's perfectly good food.
It's just a total shame. It's totally good stuff.
We buy ugly produce directly from farms that often would go to waste because supermarkets won't buy it because of how it looks, and we deliver it to people's doors.
there's beauty standards for an apple.
This isn't that ugly at all. Like, that's the most common first box, like, complaint we get.
We change that. We educate people. We show them how amazing these fruits and vegetables are.
Have food delivered to your house.
Box of produce every week.
And it's more affordable.
At a very reasonable price.
Cheaper than the grocery store.
I spend a lot less time in grocery stores.
It's an adventure every time that you open your box.
High quality produce.
There's nothing wrong with the produce.
And they taste exactly the same, if not better.
Save those fruits and vegetables that get wasted every year.
And it's delivered to your door, like...
But why wouldn't you do... Why wouldn't you do...
Please go to our website, freedomizerradio.live, and sign up for Imperfect Foods today. Use our promo code and get money off your first order. Go ahead and get some organic and all-natural meats, dairy, snacks, breads, and non-GMO produce.
Hello, folks. Welcome back to Barefoot is Legal Radio. Barefoot is Legal is a 501c3 nonprofit organization dedicated to the rights and legalities of living the barefoot lifestyle, as well as sharing general health benefits, support, encouragement, information, and whatnot else around living the barefoot lifestyle. It is safe to live the barefoot lifestyle. Barefooting is not inherently dangerous. But there are environments that may pose threats in which it may not be safe to barefoot in. But that doesn't mean that barefooting is inherently dangerous or that it's not safe to barefoot in public spaces or in nature spaces. Of course, I'm not going to go to a construction site or I'm not going to be going into like abandoned buildings. Not that I'm going into abandoned buildings, but you know what I mean? Like things like that barefoot. I'm not going to be going into like, I personally wouldn't be going into like a wood shop garage or something like that barefoot where there might be nails or, and you know, splinters and things like that. Like, I don't know, like, especially if you're in, you know, new to barefooting, but if you are somebody that's been barefooting for a while, you know, that our feet are adaptable and you can build up, you know, tolerance to these things. You can build up calluses on your feet and your skin will become, you know, thicker and more resistant to splinters and even glass. I mean, like I've had times, it was like last summer, I remember being somewhere where I was walking over glass and walking over little pieces that would have given other people splinters. And I was, you know, barefooting freely and having friends be like, oh my God, I have no idea how you're doing that. And I was like, you know, my feet have toughened up. And you know, and so I know, like for me every winter, you know, I definitely, it's kind of a step backwards, especially for me having more intense sensitivities to the cold and my muscles, my mobility and stuff like that. But, you know, it always is frustrating having to rebuild that up, especially since a lot of the places I like to go, you know, do have gravel and it can take some time to work back up. So, you know, be patient if you're new to barefooting or if you've had to wear shoes this winter and you're getting, you know, back into it, just be patient. It takes time. It's not an overnight journey. And it does take time to build those things up after, you know, a season of, not barefooting. So, you know, be patient with your body and listen to your body. But, you know, there are certain spaces that it is dangerous. You know, I'm not going to go into a chem lab barefoot where, you know, there could be burning dangerous chemicals, things like that. You know, and I think what's interesting is, you know, if you have to already wear other protective gear, of course, you're probably going to have to wear shoes if you're already wearing other protective gear. That just makes sense. You know, so like if you're going to a chem lab, you're probably going to be wearing goggles, gloves, special aprons, things like that. So, of course, that's one of those environments in which you're going to wear shoes. If you're going to a construction site, you know, you have hard hats and, you know, they've got reflective clothing to make sure that they're spottable because of, you know, the dangerous environment. Of course, you're wearing shoes and they often have steel-toed boots for a reason in environments like this. So, of course, there are environments that do oppose threats to safety in which it's not going to be safe to barefoot. And there are going to be other tools need to be used, including shoes and often certain special types of shoes, not just your everyday average shoes either. But at the same time, it is completely safe for the most part to barefoot freely in public spaces. Now, unfortunately, there are, you know, threats to being able to barefoot. And I, you know, people, you know, do bring those up. And I've learned that a lot of times too, when people bring them up, it's not that they're trying to discourage necessarily out of barefooting, especially if they're someone that I know cares about me. But they are genuinely worried, unfortunately, broken glass, drug needles, unfortunately, you know, and that was a real issue with the park, you know, I used to play at when I was a kid by my grandparents' house, and like my aunts and uncles would go out and they would clean up, you know, make sure there weren't any needles or anything else that could potentially be hazard to us so that we could play freely, we could barefoot freely. I and, you know, other cousins and stuff like that, you know, loved barefooting, and stuff like that. And so, you know, and plus you just want kids to be safe in general. But again, those are general threats to environment, and issues within society that are much deeper, systematic issues, than, just barefooting. And so I totally understand when people have their issues and their concerns around children barefooting freely. There are unfortunately, possible dangers and threats in the world. And so I think that's when, you know, understanding that with barefooting comes mindfulness, and not just spiritual mindfulness, not just the physical mindfulness you talked about of, you know, being mindful and aware of your body and your physical surroundings and your relationship to nature, not just emotional, you know, awareness either in the body and how, you know, emotions are stored in the body and, you know, movement and having that more free movement, range of movement while barefooting, that barefooting gives with your joints and your body in general. Not even just that, just mental awareness, having to be more mentally aware, and things like that, and being more aware of those safety things. And it does also make us more mentally aware of issues within our society. Sometimes do when issues like that do arise, you know, I feel like I'm more aware of littering even, because I'm also just aware about where I'm stepping, looking at the ground and things like that. And, you know, there's different ways that can become, make us more mentally aware. And I think there are ways that we have to be more mentally aware, of course, as well with it, but that's not a bad thing either. And so it's about just being aware of your environment, being in touch with your environment. And so, again, with children and with barefooting, and it's totally normal and totally understandable to have even more escalated concerns with their safety. But I think that's just where you're just having to, as caregivers, parents, whatever, you know, having to be more mindful of the environment in which children are barefooting freely, right? You know, how can you clean up or make the environment safer or take them to a safer environment to barefoot? Or how can you help establish parameters and boundaries of where it's safe to barefoot, and where it's not safe to barefoot, and be able to allow your kids to have those free experiences barefoot? Because it is really important for motor skill development, you know, just like it's important for us adults with like range of mobility, that range of mobility and with the joints and feet and things like that are really important for the fine and gross motor skill development of children. And so it's really important for children to be able to barefoot freely, crawl around freely, be able to connect with their environment freely. And unfortunately, this world is not a safe place. So sometimes you can't make certain environments any safer, but sometimes it's about just finding where are those safe environments. To explore this. And, you know, I do think that there is just too much evidence, and even from personal experience, to the role that nature and barefooting play in even learning and education and enriching that and just retaining information and being able to spark creativity and critical thinking even in other ways because of just benefits to the nervous system and interacting with the world and observing the world. And also just grounding to the earth and things like that. I do think that, you know, barefooting has a huge, and nature have a huge role in education, for sure. And I actually have my own personal experiences with college and then COVID happening during my senior year of high school. And having to finish, you know, high school online and be able to do most outside in the backyard, at my parents' house. And I was pretty much always barefoot. Like, I actually don't think I ever put on shoes to go outside the backyard to do my homework and stuff like that. And then when I started college, you know, being able to do that outside. And there are different environments, you know, throughout, you know, working on my associate degree had changed and like my associate degree was in psychology, is in psychology, you know, and that I had different environment changes with nature and like living situations, where I was still able to see just how much nature and barefooting like really did help with my learning. And I didn't actually, you know, discover the ADHD and autism until after I got my associate degree. So I didn't understand all the aspects of my ADHD, my autism, my nervous system, but I was starting to understand, you know, the roles of my fibromyalgia and the way that that works neurologically. It is a neurological condition in the body, but it doesn't, but the way that it's neurological, it affects the nervous system and all the neurons and nerve signals and things like that. So it does affect the muscles and so much else in the body and in the nervous system. And like, yeah, and it has a wide range of symptoms and yeah. And I'm not going to get all that, but, you know, I was starting to understand the role of that. And I was starting to understand the other roles, aspects of my mental health that it really played and just how it really helped with learning. I saw a huge difference with me being inside, you know, during lockdown and COVID, and then being outside in the backyard while during, you know, lockdown COVID, and working, finishing up high school and starting college and then working through college and stuff like that. Like, it was just, nature just played such a huge role in learning. And I think that it does play a huge, crucial role, in our well-being in general, of course. But I think that, you know, understanding that the role that it does play in our well-being does translate to learning. And I think that it also does have to do with productivity and learning, and just productivity in general. And unfortunately, though, there are a lot of threats, you know, especially here in the States. Mass shootings are insane, and schools are have been a huge target for a while. I mean, since, gosh, I remember hearing about this stuff regularly since I was in fifth grade, and I graduated in 2020, and we're in 2024, and it's just gotten worse, like so much worse. And so I understand why, you know, there are these issues with why people wouldn't want children being barefoot in the classroom, because you never know with active shooters and things like that. And thankfully, a lot of schools are having a lot more procedures and mechanisms to make them safer from these kinds of incident tragedies is really what they are. But I do think that nature, and I understand not wanting to have students outside as much and things like that, especially in certain areas, depending on, you know, how prevalent mass shootings are or the threat of them are. Sorry, let me clear my throat. Sorry, sinus issues as always. I do think that nature and being outside and being barefoot and connected with earth do play a crucial role in learning. And I hope that one day we can see those embedded in, within the classroom settings and within learning settings in a way that is safe and sustainable and accessible to students and all students. And, you know, there are certain areas where students, you know, already are receiving poor education and also don't have exposure to nature, have very limited exposure to the natural world. Even if they wanted to barefoot, there's still not much of the natural world. And so, it is a privilege to be able to connect with the natural world, unfortunately. But it is also a lot easier to connect with the natural world than people do think overall. Still, there are a lot of places in which that is not accessible to people, and there are much more safety threats and other issues that affect people's well-being and their accessibility to nature. And, you know, these things are all interconnected because, I mean, there are scientific, you know, correlations being made and connections being made between mental health issues and lack of exposure of nature, poverty, and how that affects mental health, and how most places that are more in poverty do have less exposure to nature, unless it is a specifically more rural area that is in poverty. And has been experiencing more extreme poverty over time due to more recent economic effects. There is a huge issue with accessibility to the natural world. Now, barefooting is something that, you know, is accessible. You have feet, and for the most part, it's accessible to most of us. But I think we also have to remember, too, is that there, in certain issues and safety and things like that, you know, there can be issues of accessibility to barefooting, but there's definitely an issue of accessibility to the natural world. And I think we need to be more aware of this and how this affects human health and mental health, physical health, emotional health, and just all the different factors in which, you know, a lot of things like nature that are healthy and beneficial to people are things that are only accessible to people who have more money, or areas that are have more money. And, you know, even too, it's like where I live on the border of, you know, my city, and a place, you know, a city that does have more money and more wealth. And that's where all the nature reserves are. It's close to me. And so I think about that and how it's crazy how there's all these different places I didn't even know that were over there, you know, growing up in a city that's right, you know, in my city, in a city right outside of me that I didn't even know until moving here, in this part of here, and being closer and looking up and trying to find closer areas, how many other places that are hidden and I didn't know about. And obviously this is not the same, this is nowhere near the same level or extremity that a lot of other people in our country, here in America are experiencing with inaccessibility to nature. And I think it's really interesting because a lot of these nature reserves that, you know, I think like I have a short drive to, they're public nature reserves that are hidden within like houses and communities where there's a lot of people that you can tell they're run from their houses to the nature reserves and are able to experience, enjoy that. And I think it's really, and these, you know, this is a much nicer area. And so I think that it's, you know, we have to be aware of how a lot of things, and then this goes for all kinds of mental health and physical health resources. Often these resources are only available to places that have more money and resources. It's like you need to have resources, you need to have resources. And unfortunately, it's a thing that we often see. And I think if we become more aware of this issue in which our exposure of nature and how this affects people and communities and how this affects mental health and how this, you know, these are all compounding issues when an issue is already down pretty bad. And there's no resources to benefit that. You're just going to see these things constantly compounding and building and escalating on top of each other until there is adequate intervention and rehabilitation for people. And I think if we start looking more towards healing and rehabilitation, you know, and understanding the role of that with nature and understanding our bodies and our minds and what is natural as, and what is also natural within us, and working through these processes, you know, that's how we build up and restore ourselves, our communities, our country. And maybe I sound crazy, but I think we really need to go back to nature and go back to understanding community and being in nature a lot more recently. I've been thinking about how bees have their hives, birds have their flocks, and sorry, my throat, and have their anthill colonies. You know, nature is communities. Even trees have their own network systems of communicating and sharing resources and warning them of dangers and threats in the forest. Trees don't compete for resources in the way that we've been taught. The survival of the fittest is more bullcrap than we've been taught. Things in nature, especially that are one and the same, only really start competing for resources like that in an extreme survival of fittest is when there is such a deficit that the survival of all is threatened. So because of the survival of all is threatened, they have to start competing. But naturally, nature takes care of another. They take care of their own. And I wish humans, we could all take care of each other like that. The way that these birds take care of their flocks and these bees take care of their hives and the way that trees take care of each other in the forest. And the only time there is real competition is when they're in deficit. But unfortunately, I think the truth is a lot of us are in such a deficit. So that is reality has become a reality, especially in areas
that lack accessibility to resources, areas in poverty, and things like that. And I think it's something to be aware of. I'm sorry that was a little too deep today for Barefoot is Legal Radio, but this was Phoenix talking. Barefoot is Legal is a 501c3 nonprofit organization dedicated to the rights and legalities of living the barefoot lifestyle. You can check us out at barefootislegal.org. On Facebook, there is a public page and a private group. Both are Barefoot is Legal. And you can check us out on Instagram at Real Barefoot is Legal. You can come back next week and listen to us here at Barefoot is Legal Radio. I was pretty sure we were supposed to have a guest caller on today, but I wasn't really sure what was going on with me or with that. There wasn't much that was well communicated on that. So we'll see about that next week. But take care, folks. Keep living your best barefoot lifestyle. Be nice, help when you can, and don't be a jerk. I can't remember if I butchered Audrey Singh or not, but bye.